And God is forever mine. God is forever yours. No matter what lies ahead, we know in our hearts, God is forever mine. And next to that, nothing, nothing is important. For God lives in our heart, and He is forever ours. And when we spend time like this worshiping God, praising God, worshiping Him, scriptures say God inhabits the praises of His people. And we were created to worship Him. And in times like this, we can see, as His anointed presence is here, how truly light His burden is, and how truly easy His yoke is. And that's what He wants for us, that we would enter into His rest by faith, that we would strive to remain in that faith, to be in His rest, where the burden is always light, yoke is always easy. And a great place to see what He's saying to us is Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Everyone here should have a copy, and it has been posted for the Internet Church. So tonight's teaching is called Dwelling in Him. And that is what we have been doing here for the last couple of hours. Dwelling in Him, dwelling in His Word, dwelling in His presence. That's how we want to live our lives. Dwelling in Him. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, each person has to make a choice, which is, I want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And when they do that, they go on to verse 2 and they say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. That no matter what the future holds, we have the faith to believe that God is forever ours. We trust Him. So we take an action and we declare the words. The action is, I choose to dwell in Him. And the words are, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And once we do that, the rest of Psalm 91 goes on to tell you all the blessings that come upon you and overtake you. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, for it can't hurt you, for God is forever yours. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see and behold the reward of the wicked. No plague shall come near your dwelling place, and the angels shall bear you up, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. All these promises come into play as you continue to trust God and continue to dwell in Him. And with long life will He satisfy you. You know, people say we don't know what tomorrow holds, whether they'll be alive or not. But the Word of God says, with long life will He satisfy you. And if you hang on to that and you declare it and you continue to live in that secret place of the Most High God, this is not living there for 5-10 minutes a day and the rest of the day you're totally devoted to a secular lifestyle or to sin. Yes, you may be involved in a secular lifestyle. You may be working long hours. But you can still dwell in the secret place of the Most High God as you're doing secular work, because you work as unto Him. That you're doing the work for Him, unto Him, and you're doing your best for Him. And as best as you can, you're checking with Him to let Him guide you throughout your day. We can choose to dwell in that secret place anywhere, anytime. People have done it in prison. People have done it facing death. People have done it with a busy life. And people have done it when they're retired. It's all a question of your heart. In your heart, do you want to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God? Do you want to trust Him? Do you want to abide in Him? Do you want to live unto Him and work unto Him? Now, another way of looking at dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God is shown in John 8, 31 and 32. Said Jesus to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples." See, that's saying the same thing. If you continue to hear, speak, do, live, if you continue to dwell in the secret place of Me, which is that place of obedience that produces the anointing, if you continue to do that, then what happens? Then you get set free. It makes you a disciple. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God makes you a disciple of God. Continuing the Word of God makes you a disciple of God. That secret place is that place of obedience which produces the anointing of God. And when we do that, we know the truth, and the truth makes us free. John 15, verse 7 says the same thing in different words. If you abide in Me, dwell, abide, continue in. They all mean the same thing. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in Me, if your life is hid in Christ Jesus, if your life is hid in the Word, then you're abiding in Him. If you're dwelling in that place of obedience and love, then the anointing will flood you, and the Word will come out of you and set you free. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He's in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We all have His Spirit. When you're born again, His Spirit comes to live in you. When your spirit fills, you're filled up with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is on you. And hereby we know that we're dwelling in Him, because we're dwelling in His Spirit, and His Spirit is dwelling in us. Spirit is upon us and remains upon us until we sin. And we know that when we sin, we confess it, invite the Spirit of God back upon us, so we continue to dwell in Him. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he's in God. And that's our life. That's our way of living. That's our speech. Jesus is the Son of God, and we live for Him, and our life is built around the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And we know that He's forever ours. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. When you abide in the secret place of the Most High God, when you're under the anointing of praise and worship, that love just automatically flows out of you. And we just want to continue in that love throughout the days, throughout the weeks, for we are determined to be loving, forgiving persons. For love never fails. And all these promises belong to us through faith. They don't belong to us because of works. They belong to us through faith. They came to us because of grace, and we release them in our lives through faith. So we receive them by faith. We receive these blessings by faith. And that's what I want to talk about in the rest of this teaching. How we receive by faith. Yes, if you have faith, action will follow. But it's not the action that's producing these blessings in your life. It's your faith that's releasing them in your life. Your faith is releasing both the blessings in your life and the actions which flow out of your faith. Your faith is what's producing your living in the secret place of the Most High God. You believe God wants you to do that. You believe God has called you to do that. You believe you're there because you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And your faith believes that, and your faith moves you in that direction. And because faith always produces action, you start to do it. But it's not how well you do it, or how wonderfully well you do it, or how long you do it, that produces the blessings. No, it's the grace that produces them, released by your faith. Yes, we do our best. Yes, we keep moving towards them, but that's a result of the faith growing in us and releasing it. So all these things come through us through faith. So I've looked at some scriptures from different categories, scriptures about being in Him, in Jesus, and in Christ, to show you some of the promises that belong to us, that we can release in our lives through the faith to believe that God has said it, we believe it, and it's a done deal. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God. All the promises are yea for you and for me. We need to believe them, speak them, act in them. They're all yea and amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him we are righteous. In Him we are the righteousness of God. Not by our works, but because He paid the price, and through grace we receive it as we release our faith to believe it, and the action that corresponds to we start to act like it. See, if you truly believe you're the righteousness of God by faith, the faith in your heart always produces action. If in your heart you truly believe you're the righteousness of God, that faith in your heart will gradually move you to move away from sin and into things that are holy. Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him, God has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God chose us to be in Christ Jesus, to be holy and without blame before Him in love. What a promise of God, the grace of God to move us towards that position. Colossians 2 verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. Dwell in Him. Walk in Him. How do you walk in Him? You walk in His obedience to Him, in the anointing, in His presence, in worshiping Him, in being obedient to His word, living as He lived, because we have received Him. Colossians 2 verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ Jesus is all the Trinity, all the fullness of the Godhead. And we are complete in Him. In Him we are complete. We have everything we need for every situation, and we can never lose because we are complete in Him. We need nobody, we need nothing, because we are complete in Him. Everything you need is in Him, and you are in Him, and it belongs to you. 1 John 2:10. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. As we dwell in Him, as we dwell in the anointing, just as we did earlier this evening in the worship, that love just flows out of us. We start to exude love, and it's just about impossible to walk in anything but love, as we are saturated with the love of God. For we are loving, forgiving persons, and the love floods our heart, and out of the abundance of our heart comes love. And more, we move into living in that place of love, that secret place of the Most High God. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. And you need not let any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, even as the anointing has taught you, you shall abide in him. The anointing is in you. Christ is in you. The engrafted word is in you. The love is in you. And it moves you into a place of abiding in him, in that secret place of the Most High God, in that place of anointing, in that place of victory, in that place of obedience. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Because when we dwell in that secret place, we only ask things according to his will. We only ask things which we see in the word. We only want things which are of love, because he's of love and we are in him. And when we ask from that position, everything we ask is just done. We know it's done. There's total confidence that when we are there and we ask, it's done. So these are a few of the scriptures about being in him. Now let's look at in Jesus. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. He is the justifier. Justify means you're justified, your sins are gone. It is just as if you never sinned. He is justified. He is the justifier of us. He justifies us as we believe in him. Notice it's believing in Jesus. It's not living in Jesus. Jesus is the name of the man. Jesus is the name of the man. Jesus is the name of the baby that was born and grew up to be a man. Jesus is the name of the word that became flesh. We don't live in the man. We live in his anointing. We live in Christ Jesus. Christ is his title. Christ is the Messiah. It's God coming as man to save us. We live in his title and the anointing. Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. So we live in the anointed one and his anointing. We don't live in Jesus the man. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. No, here it says in Jesus Christ. Below it's going to say in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ is referring to the man with the anointing. And we believe in him and we have faith in him, but we don't live in him. We live in Christ Jesus. We live in the anointed one, in the anointing. In Ephesians 3, it talks about Christ dwelling fully in our heart. Not Jesus dwelling fully in our heart. Jesus is the man who sits at the right hand of the Father. He does come to earth to visit people, but basically his position is sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemy be made his footstool. But his anointing, his title, his work, that dwells in us. Because that is manifested through the engrafted word of God, the word of God which you make your own. It's engrafted into your heart and becomes you. And eventually, Christ dwells fully in your heart as we become rooted in love. Can't have Christ dwelling in your heart without being rooted in love. They go together. God is love. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. If Christ is going to dwell in your heart, then love has to dwell in your heart. So let's look at in Christ. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace, we're justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. We are justified and we are redeemed in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It can't be because we're justified. In Christ Jesus, it is as if we never sinned. God sees us in Christ Jesus. God sees us through the blood of Jesus, which is the same as saying he sees us in Christ Jesus. He sees us without sin. He sees us perfect. He sees us righteous. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them because we're in Christ Jesus. And he has justified us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are in Christ Jesus, but we choose to focus on him and continue to dwell in the secret place by walking after the Spirit. We're not choosing to come out of the secret place of the Most High God and live a carnal life. We're choosing to continue in the Word. If you continue in the Word, you're continuing in the Word of obedience. We're continuing to be in his presence, in his anointing, dwelling in him, being in Christ Jesus. And when we do that, there is no condemnation. The sins are gone. The chains are broken. There's no condemnation. Nothing can harm you or impact you if we continue to see that and understand it's not your works that's doing it. It's your faith in believing it. As you believe the Word of God and you realize it belongs to you through grace and that you release it by faith, these blessings come upon you. But understand that truly believing it in your heart means that your works will match what's in your heart. When you truly believe what's something in your heart, that's how you react. When there are bad words in your heart and somebody drops a kiss of goods on your toe, what will probably come out are bad words. Not that anybody here would ever do that or has ever done that. But when your heart is full of the engrafted word, when your heart is full of Christ Jesus, when your heart is full of love, then it will produce works of love, works of faith, and the works will come out and match what you believe, which is you're free of condemnation. You're free of sin. Sin has been broken in your life. The chains have been set free, and the first chain to be set free is the chain of having to sin. Count yourself, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus your Lord. For the chains have been broken, and you're set free from sin. And when you're set free from sin, you're set free from demons. And when you're set free from demons, you're set free from sickness, disease, and death. They all go together. They came into this world together, and they go together, and they're all going to leave this world together. Hell and death. And Satan and all his henchmen are all going to end up in the lake of fire. That's what you call an unholy triumvirate. Sin, Satan, and sickness. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In Christ Jesus, we are in Christ Jesus and we have life. How can there be anything but life in Christ Jesus? We are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died so we could be in the anointed one and his anointing. We are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is life. And God is life. There can be nothing in Christ Jesus but life. That's why there is no sin and no disease and death when we lose ourselves in him and have the faith to believe that Jesus paid the price, God gave us the grace, and we are in Christ Jesus. In fact, it's a wonderfully good affirmation. So walk around all day long saying, I am in Christ Jesus. I live in Christ Jesus. I live in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:39. Nothing, not height, not depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God is in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. How can we possibly be separated from Him? We all go together. We in Christ Jesus, God's love in Christ Jesus, life in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died so we could live in Him, in His anointed, in His anointing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified means set apart. We're in Christ Jesus. We're set apart from everything. We've come out of them. We've come out of the world to dwell in Christ Jesus. We are sanctified, set apart, called unto holiness. So we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's why we are called saints. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus Christ. We have invited Him into our hearts and we choose to live in Christ Jesus. And that's why we are saints and God sees us as holy and invincible. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus, God has made Him to for us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We're in Christ Jesus. We are fountains of wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are living in Christ Jesus. And God is moving us through that process of understanding wisdom, which is the way of God, which leads to righteousness. Not just righteousness in our spirit, but righteousness through our being, which sets us apart and leads to that full redemption as you remain in Christ Jesus. What's the full redemption? Glorified bodies. Bodies that can't die. Being part of the glorified church. Being here when Jesus returns. As we remain in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, we're of the family of Adam, in our carnal nature, people will die. But we are not, you know, we're fond of saying, you know, don't let people tell you what run in your family, because that ain't your family. You're in the family of God. You're in the family of Jesus Christ. Your brothers and sisters are those who do the work of God, who do the will of God. We're in the family of God. So blood, high blood pressure doesn't run in your family. There's no high blood pressure in the family of God. There's no sickness and disease in the family of God. So we've come out of the family of Adam, and we're in the family of Jesus Christ. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus came to undo everything that Adam did. And Adam allowed death into the world. And Jesus brought life. The first Adam was a living spirit. But this last Adam is a spirit of life, quickening spirit, gives life. The last Adam gives life. And we are in Him. And His anointing is in us. We are a fountain of life. We lead people to the Father, to Jesus. We give them new life as new creation. We pray for people and they get healed. The anointing flow out of us and flood people because of the life in us. And that life is changing our mortal flesh. For Romans 8:11, the same Spirit who raised Jesus, same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us and pumps life into a mortal flesh. Thank you very much. Romans 8:11. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us and pumps life into our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We always triumph in Christ. We are in Christ Jesus, and God is our strength, our personal bravery, and our invincible army. The only way we can lose is to come out of the anointing, to come out of His presence. We can't get God out of us. God is in us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but we can come out of His presence. But don't do it. Stay in His presence. Stay in Christ Jesus. And we always triumph. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we're in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. We're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. We're in the family of God. Every cell is being changed. We're becoming glorified. All things have passed away. Everything that you used to be has passed away. Every cell, organ, and system is being filled with the glory of God. We've gone from death into life. We have eternal life. And we never fail. And we stay in Christ Jesus. We are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. And no evil shall befall you. And nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you, if you're in Christ Jesus. You know, in natural thinking, you know, you get one of these modern tanks, the Abraham's tank, you know, a big modern tank, and you drive it onto a riot zone in an inner city. What's going to hurt you? They have nothing that's going to hurt you instead of a tank. And so we think nothing of the fact that if you're in the tank, you're safe. Only somebody with an anti-tank gun or something bigger can harm you. Knives, bottles, rocks, shotguns, automatic rifles are not going to hurt you in attack. But surely we understand that the Holy Spirit is much greater than any tank. The power of God is much greater than any power out there. And He says, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus you always triumph. And the anointing is upon you, and nothing shall hurt you, because all things have become new. Galatians 3:26. For we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. What avails is that you become a new creation. A new creation living in Christ Jesus. In other words, you start walking by faith, believing that you're in Christ Jesus, declaring it, and let the grace of God change you as you release it through your faith. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything we have is in Christ. And when we remain in Christ, it's all available to us. You know, if you say, boy, you've got somebody give you $10 million, but it's in Lima, Peru, and only you can get it, the only way you can get it is to go to Lima, Peru. But in Lima, Peru, you get your $10 million. In Christ, you're blessed with everything. But you get it by being in Christ Jesus. You come out of Christ Jesus, you're leaving the treasury behind you. You come out of Christ Jesus, you're leaving the protection behind you. In Christ Jesus, we have everything. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we're seated way up there in heavenly places, far, 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 as Pastor Matthew's love to teach, far, 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 above all principality and power and might and dominion. Everything is below our feet. And remain so as we remain in Christ Jesus. That's why in School of Dominion, semester one, first time ever, semester one, day one, we destroyed Boko Haram. They had aspiration of being a caliphate, of being their own state. They had cities, they had a headquarter city that they had captured. They had other cities. They were living boldly in public, had never been defeated. Once we pray that, within a short time, they were living in forest and hiding. Are they still a terrorist threat? Yeah, but they're a terrorist threat. They're not a caliphate. They're not a state. They're in hiding like any other terrorist. And they've lost a lot of people. And they have no cities anymore. Even the city where they got started, they've lost it. Ephesians 2:11. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. For his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When we are in Christ Jesus, and Christ is in us, that faith produces action and works. And those actions and works are always good works. For God has created us to walk in good works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We love to affirm in the name of Jesus, we have the mind of Christ. Wonderful affirmation. But that mind remains in you as you remain in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. His purpose and grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I mean, you think, how in the world could anybody have the nerve to write that? Because of grace, his purpose, his grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Only God can make statements that. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The grace, God's help to overcome every challenge is available to us in Christ Jesus. So that's looking at some scriptures on in him, in Jesus, in Christ, in the context of dwelling in him, abiding in him. Now, we didn't look at two other very common expressions. We looked at in him, in Christ, and in Jesus. What did we not look at? Anybody think of? We didn't look at in whom, that's true. We didn't do that. How about something beside an in? Not, by? Yeah, by. Yeah. For example, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. By. Philippians 4:19. In 1 Peter 5:10, the grace of God which calls us to eternal glory, we are called to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. What else beside by? We have in, we have by. What else? With? I'm sure with is one. I can't think of an example, but it's true. There's another one for which I can think of some examples. Anybody? What's one of your favorite scriptures? Laura Wilkerson. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Through. Right? That's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Galatians 4:7. We're heir of God through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God keeps our heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So, to me, that's just very exciting and encouraging and motivational. That God sees us in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is continue there. Just abide there. And the main thing we have to do is know that sin has been defeated in our life. We don't have to sin. And if we accidentally sin, confess it, get back in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.